to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn from The Creative Pen and welcome to the show. Today I have a great interview with Mark McGuinness from Lateral Action, all about creative entrepreneurship. But before I get to that, here's a little update. So the Queensland flooding, I'm sure a lot of you saw on the TV and the news about the floods here in Queensland. I live in Brisbane. And yes, I was here for the flood. So it's been a bit of a crazy few weeks. My day job is still, you know, I'm still working from home as our offices are still flooded. And it's basically, even though it's probably dropped off the news, it's still pretty major over here. Brisbane wasn't hit as badly as other places, but it's still an interesting time because there's so many people here. And I have a lot of friends who were impacted, although my house managed to escape the flood, although when we drove around a couple of days later we could see that it was only a few streets away, so very lucky with that. It was an interesting time. What basically happened was the river was flooding from, you know, from the dam end, and the water was coming, and we were all sitting here at home, you know, everyone was sent home, sort of town was evacuated, and then we were basically told that at a certain time of day the water would be the highest. It was kind of like a slow train wreck, in that you knew it was going to be a nightmare, but it wasn't this very fast catastrophe as it was further up the valley into Woomba, where you might have seen the cars all being washed away and people died up there. But here it was a very slow crash. You know, I was kind of sitting here, Twitter was crazy, there was a real feeling of being sort of powerless, and generally a good exercise in being part of a big disaster, but not actually being impacted. So from a experience perspective, you know, an interesting time. I did have sort of, you know, my husband wasn't actually here, so I was in the house alone, and the cat was even at the vet because she was just there at that time, and so I was kind of on my own, and I was really assessing what I wanted to do if the floods were coming, because at some point you basically had to leave if the water was coming and, you know, your house was going to be flooded completely. And when I really thought about what I wanted, all I wanted was my laptop and a backup of my photos and everything. Pretty much I could walk away from everything else, which is quite a good realization, I guess, bit of a zen feeling to, you know, to feel little attachment to physical objects. But I'm very attached to my laptop, as you know, and all the things that I've created over the last few years. So those are the things I really wanted. So I guess that's a good realization. If you want to help out, if you're interested in writing a story, there is a project, 100 Stories for Queensland. They have a Facebook page, so you can go and sort on that, search for that on Facebook. You can submit a story if you'd like to help out on that project. There's lots of charity stuff as well. And of course, we're all helping out around here. So yeah, interesting time, but I guess the upshot is I wasn't impacted. Did lose power, and once I lost power, I actually left and went to Canberra, which is where my husband was, and got out of town, which was good. So it was quite a weird time. Anyway, that's my kind of life update. Pentecost launch, very exciting. I have my book here. Very, very cool. I actually have a physical copy of Pentecost on my desk. It arrived. It's the proof copy from Lightning Source. And basically, I've approved that. So it's now being distributed. It will be on Amazon as a print book in the next couple of weeks, hopefully by the 7th of February. I hope it makes it on time. So very exciting. It's great to look at it as a physical book. My designer, Joel Friedlander, at thebookdesigner.com, he did some wicked stuff with the flames and the chapter headings and things. So it's very, very, very cool. But I'm actually far more excited about the Kindle launch than the physical book sales, because Kindle was massive over Christmas. I'm sure you know Amazon sold millions of Kindles, and I'm quite excited to see how that goes.
In the next couple of weeks, I'll be writing guest posts, doing promotional things, ready for a blitz the week of the 7th to the 10th, 12th, around then. There's also a competition. If you buy the book on the 7th of February, you can be in to win a Kindle or consulting time with me and the Author 2.0 online course, which hopefully some of you are interested in. I'll add a link to the show notes, but basically put 7th of February in the diary. The Kindle book will only be $2.99, so, you know, pretty easy investment for the competition. Even if you're not interested in reading the book, you might want to watch the launch process for your own marketing. Yeah, so that's coming up, and I will be harping on about that for a while. You know, I don't do too much self-promotion, so I hope you'll bear with me over this time. Also, some people have asked me why I haven't submitted Pentecost to a publisher or an agent, so why am I self-publishing? I have talked about this before, but one of the reasons is, this is the reason, in that I finished the book end of December, it's coming out beginning of February. There is no publisher, no big publisher on earth that will publish that fast, and I'll be selling on the Kindle immediately. And of course, if the book sells really well, then I may well get publisher interest. And as I've said before, I'll be going to New York in July to Thriller Fest. So that's pretty cool. Okay, so that's about it from me. Here's the interview where Mark and I talk about how creative people can use content marketing. Really good stuff. So I hope you enjoy the interview. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Penn Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Mark McGuinness. Mark is a business coach, trainer, and consultant working with creative professionals, innovative companies, and other trendsetters at the forefront of the creative economy. He is also a poet and runs the Creative Entrepreneurs Roadmap. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Joanna. Nice to talk to you. Glad we managed to work out time zones.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show. So maybe you could start by telling us a bit more about yourself and about how you moved your business from offline to online.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, as you said, I mean, really, I like to think I'm a poet, really. But like most poets, I've not really worked out a way of earning a living directly from poetry. So, but I did want to have writing and creativity at the heart of what I did. So I've ended up as a coach and trainer for creative professionals. So that includes artists, writers, designers, filmmakers, entrepreneurs, and creative industries companies. And let's see, it's a mixture of opportunity and inclination, really, because I love doing live work face-to-face with clients and running live seminars and consulting with agencies and so on. And at the same time, you know, I came to realize that by moving the business online, marketing online, using my blog, I could scale it in a way that, you know, I could reach many more people than I can reach face-to-face. I can do it a lot more efficiently. You know, I can be in my office talking to you on Skype. I do a lot of coaching on Skype these days. And, you know, hour for hour, it's really hard. You know, it's a much better proposition. I can be in my office, I can work with a client for an hour, and then switch it off, and I'm back in the office and getting on with things. You know, so instead of commuting, I get more time with the family, I get more time to read and write and reflect, and I'm a lot more productive. And then similarly, I'm scaling. I mean, I still do live workshops and training sessions, but more and more I'm getting into doing e-learning and being able to deliver that across the internet. And again, I can reach so many more people. And once I've digitized my work, it's, you know, I can scale it in terms of, you know, my income, because it's no longer dependent on being paid on an hourly rate or a daily rate.
No, that is great. And what exactly do you do for people? You're not teaching poetry or anything, are you? You're actually helping creatives.
No, I generally don't teach poetry. sometimes I work with writers. Three main areas that I work with clients on are, one, creativity and productivity. So the whole business of how do you get creative work done, particularly in the midst of all the challenges of daily life and digital distractions and communications and so on. So that's actually producing the creative work. Another one is communication and motivation and stress management, all the kind of emotional intelligence skills that we have to have as writers, as creatives, in order to do what we do. And then finally, and more recently, I've been helping people with internet marketing and creative entrepreneurship. So how do you take what you do and scale that, usually online? You know, how do you find an audience? How do you build a business around that? In a way that you're actually approaching it from a creative angle rather than a nakedly commercial one.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about today, because you've got a great free ebook out at the moment, Freedom, Money, Time, and the Key to Creative Success. And for those listeners, that's going to be in the show notes, so people can download that. And we're going to be talking around those aspects today. So maybe you could expand a bit more on creativity in business, because many authors and many, I guess, creative people, many poets probably, think that business is a bit of a dirty word, marketing is a bit of a dirty word. How do these things fit together so well these days?
Well, I think these days is quite key there, because if you'd spoken to me 10 years ago, I would have, been paid up, business is evil, marketing is evil, it's the spawn of Satan, don't go near it. And I think there's a couple of things have changed. One is I've come to the realization that actually if I want to succeed, then I'm going to have to learn to sell things, whether it's my services, whether it's my writing, whether it's products I create, whether it's a workshop, I need to get people through the door, or I need to find clients to work with as a coach. And I think that's true, even if you're the proverbial novelist in the garret, you still need to sell to at least one person, an agent or an editor or a publisher. Nobody gets let off the hook with this. So eventually I thought, well, since we have to learn to do it, there's got to be a way of doing it with a bit of integrity and a bit of ethics and even a bit of aesthetics. Why can't we do this in a tasteful and respectful way? So that was kind of my realization and journey, if you like. The other thing is, if you look at the big picture of the way the world economy is going at the moment, in rich, developed countries, manufacturing and even white-collar work is increasingly either being automated or shipped overseas. So, and people are looking for what is going to come up, what is going to produce the competitive advantage, what are the industries of the future? And we've got the emergence of what's called the creative economy. So not just writers and artists and poets, but all kinds of businesses are realizing that if they want to succeed, they're going to have to be more creative and more innovative than the next person. And it kind of feels a little bit like our time has come, as creative types, that finally, our skills are in demand and our knowledge and our way of looking at the world is in demand. And then very specifically, if you look at what's happening online, there's a phenomenon called content marketing, which basically means media content that doesn't look like advertising but functions like advertising. So, for instance, you and I write blogs, and neither of us do the hard sell. I mean, it's not like being hit over the head with advertising speak when you land on our websites. We both write educational content that we hope will be useful and inspiring for our audience, and so people actually want to read it. We're not nakedly trying to push something. And the thing is, if you do it like that, but from a marketing perspective, that actually can have a very profound impact. Because when I used to have a website that was just full of web copy about what a great coach I was. And then I replaced it with a blog where I demonstrated that by sharing and writing articles where I was generous with my knowledge. I said, this is what I teach my clients, and here's what I'm going to teach you for free. And of course, people were holding up their hands in horror and saying, don't, you should be charging for that, put a paywall up. But the thing is, somewhere in the ebook, actually, I show you the web stats for that year, and it goes from just about zero up to 6,000 visitors a month at the end of the month. And that was purely down to the blog. and the fact that I was putting my ideas out there in a form that people actually wanted to read. So from one perspective, it was just an educational blog about creativity. But actually, what it meant was more and more people came to my website, they subscribed to the blog, and then the phone started ringing and the email, inbox was getting, I was getting more client requests. So it's, the big picture here, the headline is, I actually wrote a piece a few months ago saying that artists and creatives have an unfair advantage at internet marketing. But the thing is, if you're a writer, the news is even better. Because writers, writers have the big advantage. Because search engines are text hungry. People linking, and links is how you get a lot of your traffic and page ranks. People link to headlines. People link to words. So if you're a wordsmith, you have a huge opportunity to build a brand online. And I don't always emphasize that when I'm working with, talking to a room full of mixed, visual and audio musicians and so on. But artists really do have a big advantage in this world. It's getting late here.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And it's great you went through that, because I do often get that question, why do I put so much out for free? And you've nailed it there. It's the content marketing. And yes, I have done your course. I'm going to, disclaimer to everyone listening, I've done your course. It's great. So one of the things I wanted to talk about that's in the course that I think is so interesting is about creation, not competition. Because so many people, not the bloggers, obviously, people who haven't got into this yet. So many people think that they are in competition with other authors, other business people online for the same dollar. Perhaps you could talk about that aspect of it.
Yeah, sure. Well, here's an example that I think I might have used in the course. It's in my hometown of Bartsville in the southwest of England. One of the oldest shops in the town is called Butcher's Row. And you can probably guess what's on that. It's a row of butcher shops. And the thing is, and obviously they're all in competition, but what happens? Everybody in town who wants to go and buy their meat goes to Butcher's Row. And so, yeah, you've got to stand out from the next shop, but they've created a real meat market there. If that can get away from me.
Sorry, yes, something like that.
Double entendre. But it literally is a meat market. It's not in the bad sense. walked into that one. And so it's a similar thing online, You can have your website in a corner of the internet that nobody ever visits. And I used to have one of those. Or you can be part of something like Butcher's Row, a row of people offering similar things, and that's where people go to do their shopping. They will, in the niche, I'm sure you know the writer's blogs, I know the creativity, productivity, entrepreneurship blogs, and we kind of know each other and we'll link to each other, and the traffic goes around, and people who know your blog will know other writers' blogs, and that's good for everybody, because you want to be part of that scene, because whether or not you like the idea, it's happening, and that's where the readers are and the customers are.
No, absolutely. And I think people, what people might not realize when they're not a blogger yet, I guess, is how generous the community is, and it's almost like the more you give, the better things are.
It's really, really, I mean, I say in the ebook, it's like going through the looking glass, because my friends who are not engaged online, they say, oh, but isn't it antisocial spending all that time on the computer? And the funny thing is, that's my main reason, apart from the commercial side of things, for going online, because I meet so many great people. I mean, you're there in Australia, yeah? Mm. I mean, you've got up early for this call. I'm staying up late. We would never have, and this is the first time we've spoken, but we know each other, yeah? We would never have heard of each other without this. And there's loads of people like that. They're really, I mean, and again, we say in the course that this is about community-based marketing. And for me, one of the best things about it is finding a community of like-minded people online who share your interests and your passions. You know, I mean, whatever niche you have on the internet, you're going to find people who've got similar interests.
That's so true. And I guess I wanted to expand a bit more on integrity. You mentioned it briefly earlier, but, you know, sort of coming back to that idea around marketing and business is bad. Maybe you could talk a bit about how content marketing can be used with integrity to market your work and that you can really express yourself as part of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, my previous business was me and a telephone and a list of numbers that I rang. And it was like finding a needle in a haystack, and I hated it. And it probably wasn't much fun for the people I was ringing up either, because, you know, nobody particularly likes cold calling. And that was really when I was clueless about marketing and sales. But, it worked eventually. But now I get to get up and I write an article that I think is going to be useful, is going to be helpful for my audience. And, you know, it inspires me. I get up in the morning. I can't wait to get on with my marketing, in inverted commas, in the morning. And, you know, anybody... The thing is, you do go through a bit of a wall of fear because you think, well, if I put my stuff out there, people are going to criticise and they're going to come back and then they're going to nip. But actually... overwhelmingly the response has been positive, and I'm sure yours has been the same, because you generally set the tone.
Yes.
But the thing, there is something about that accessibility, the fact that if I put an idea up on my blog, somebody can come along and disagree and we can have a discussion about it, and they can chat, they're free to challenge me, and they sometimes people take full advantage of that liberty. But it means that they're talking to a real person. It's not some faceless, monolithic, you know, marketing edifice. You know, it's me, Mark McGuinness. It's you, Joanna Penn. If you come on your site, you get the sense that you've met the real, you know, the real you, the real me. Yeah? That's kind of how we've got the sense. We kind of know each other, even though this is the first time we've spoken.
No, absolutely.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, that's great. I just like the authenticity side around the marketing and the content marketing specifically. So I did want to ask you about the intellectual property side, because one of the biggest things I get, you know, asked about on my site is how much of my stuff should I give away? You know, should I be putting my book online? Should I be doing this, that and the other? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, I think it's a really, really crucial question, because, and it's a strategic question to ask. How much do you give away? How much do you keep and sell? And there's not an easy answer. There's not a hard and fast answer. But a lot of creatives, I think, and a lot of writers err on the side of being too cautious and thinking, I need to protect my intellectual property and nobody must ever copy it. And... I don't want to link out to other people in case, you know, people talk about, every self and classes, but, you know, what if somebody steals my writing, you know? And I like Cory Doctorow's take on it. He says, you know, most writers' problem isn't piracy, it's obscurity. You know, if you don't put your stuff out there, who's going to know about you? Because nobody, I mean, I'm not, even by internet standards, I'm not well famous, but I do have an audience now, and enough people have heard about me in order for me to have a business. Mm. Now, 5 years ago, nobody had heard. I mean, you could see the web stats. You know, you'll see it in the report. Nobody had heard of me. Nobody visited the site. It was only by being generous and giving stuff away and being reasonably productive and prolific that I got my name out there. So I think you need to look strategically what is going to get me noticed. What do my audience, potential readers and customers, what do they need to know about me and about my work in order for them to become a customer? And then you think about, well, what am I actually selling? If you're selling a physical book, then that's quite an easy decision, because people can't download that. You know, they can order it from your shop and then you deliver it. If you're selling digital products, then it's a more of a dividing line. But I'm certainly not one of these people who says information needs to be free. Everything should be free online, because it shouldn't. You know, I mean, most of the people who say that aren't trying to earn a living from it. So the fewer controls that you put on your work, you know, you can license your work for free, non-commercial distribution. That will get you noticed. you know, think about what you've got in reserve that you then want to sell, you know. And I think Justine had an interesting piece about this recently, about Justine Musk, about fiction writing. And she said, well, maybe you might not want to put your actual novel online, but you might want to put some writing that's backstory to it, or that's educational stuff to it, or, you know, but so you don't necessarily want to give away the farm, is what I'm saying.
Mm. No, I agree with you there. I think there's a lot we can put online that isn't the stuff we're selling. Now, I wanted to ask you then, you mentioned about how your growth happened when you were prolific in being generous and writing these articles and things. Another massive question I get is, how do I balance being creative versus all this marketing stuff I suddenly have to do? So how do you coach people to do that, actually create the stuff that they're going to sell, writing books and things, and the marketing?
Mm. Well, first thing I need to say is it doesn't happen overnight, and it does take time. I mean, the good news is it's free, or it's very low cost. I mean, you know, internet connection and the software is reasonably cheap. But it does take time, and it does take persistence, and it does take consistency. I mean, my blog really took off when I committed to posting once a week. So, you know, when I started off, it was really, it felt like a big sacrifice, because I was putting a lot of time into it that I wasn't putting into client time, and I wasn't putting into my other writings. And there's no getting away from that. You know, if you want this, you'll have to put time into it. But my answer was, I became a lot better at time management and productivity. So I ended up researching lots of productivity systems, and I ended up writing my own ebook, Time Management for Creative People, that was based on my experience. And I've actually found a lot more productivity in my day than I used to have, you know. So I think you have to be very good at knowing what's your sacred time for your writing, what is time for engaging with people in social media, what is maybe time for marketing type writing. Although, you know, like I say, with content marketing, there becomes less and less a distinction. I mean, to me, it doesn't feel like, if I'm writing a sales page, then that does feel a bit more like marketing. But I don't have to write so many of those. You know, you can only sell so many things. But blog articles, I love writing them, you know. It's fun for me. It's enjoyable. It feels like real writing. And it should do, because that's the authenticity thing. So it's, for me, there becomes less and less of a dividing line between the creative stuff and the marketing stuff. But it always still feels like a holiday when I get to write poetry.
That's marvellous. Right, well, we are almost out of time. So maybe you can tell everybody a bit more about the Creative Entrepreneurs Roadmap and where they can find you online.
Sure. Okay, the Creative Entrepreneur Roadmap. This is the big in-depth e-learning program that is probably the most extensive program I've taught, apart from when the only thing comparable was when I was helping to train psychotherapists. So I put it together with my friends and former business partners, Brian Clark, who is founder of Copyblogger, which is a real, Brian is one of the authorities on content marketing. And he's also a very, very talented writer. You know, he's somebody who's creative. He's done screenwriting. He's done various types of writing. And he's also a very successful copywriter. So, and he's a very, very successful online entrepreneur. And a lot of the course is me interviewing Brian, as you know, about how content marketing works, how to get attention online, how to build subscribers, how to build mailing lists, how to develop products and services that will have some commercial appeal, not just stuff that, or even to just to be able to take what you've already made and position it in a way that it will have more appeal, that, you know, so that you can find your audience, and then the marketing becomes a lot easier. So it's fairly heavy on internet marketing and online community interactions. It also involves how you actually build a business for all of this, because as we both know, a blog is not a business. A blog is a business tool. So we've got Tony Clark, our other partner, talking about business systems and processes. Brian also talks about different business models, intellectual property, different ways of developing the business, so that over time, the time and the effort that you put in, actually, it pays off an investment. Because when I started blogging, I put in a lot of hours to get a few readers. Yes. Now, I don't have to blog as much if I don't want to, and I will still reach more people. So you get a certain momentum. So there's five modules of the course are all about business side of things and the marketing and how you build your creative business. There's two modules that Sonia Simone and I did, which was really about emotional intelligence and motivation and stress management and work-life balance for home-based entrepreneurs. And I'm sure I speak for Sonia. I know I speak for me when I say this is all from deeply felt personal experience. You know, I mean, everything we teach on the course is from our own experience. And what we're trying to do with that is to really give you a holistic picture of business, because it's not just doing, you know, the left brain marketing and business stuff. You've also got to involve your emotions and motivation and communication skills. So there's also an extended course as well on using partnering and collaboration as part of your business. So it really does give you a well-rounded picture of how you run a complete 21st century business from a laptop in your office or your studio. And you don't need to invest a lot of money. You need to invest time and effort and creativity. You don't need to invest money. You don't need to hire people. You don't need venture capital funding or anything like that. And it's a really rewarding pursuit in every sense.
No, that's great. And what I liked is that a lot of the examples are from creative industry and creative people, which makes it far more relevant to you know, people who don't work in tech and stuff like that. So that's what, you know, my audience are particularly interested in.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, obviously with my background, I mean, I'm not a techie. You know, I'm a writer and I'm a people person, but I've learned as much technology as I needed to in order to make the creative and business side of things happen. And also I know very much, and you can hear this on the course, Brian's philosophy is very much that business can be a creative project in its own right. And I was a bit skeptical and then intrigued, and then now, you know, I've bought into that idea. I really love building my business as much as the artistic side of my activities.
And finally, just tell people what your website is and where they can contact you.
Yeah, it's lateralaction.com is my main site. That's where I do my coaching and e-learning, and that's my main blog. And that's also the site of the Creative Entrepreneur Roadmap. The writers, and particularly the poets in the room, may like to visit markmcginnis.com. That's McGuinness with a double N. And that is my poetry blog, which is not as busy or... I'm not as prolific over there at the moment, but that's obviously got a special place in my heart. So if you like writing and you really like the little nerdy details of poetry, then come along there. And the other place I hang out a lot online is Twitter. So again, Mark McGuinness on Twitter.
Brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Mark. That was great.
Thank you, Joanna. Real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.